The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
If you're over 30 in a football, that's half your age hitting the digs. Those lads are out partying at St. William Street later that night. I'm going home to have an ice bath.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.
So, all right, we're first tee. Henry, you're a relatively inexperienced golfer, is that honest?
Well, yes.
Assumption?
I'm happy you stated that, Brian.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So we'll let you go first?
Here we go.
Ah, Jesus.
That was a lucky one.
Oh my God.
That was a lucky one.
I am a stiff now, Brian. The hip's not working great.
Were you not training last night? You should be nice and loose. Good contact.
Yeah, but where's it gone?
So you're back into management, but not with Ballyhale this time. So what was the thinking of finishing up with Ballyhale and then a relatively short period of time and now you're back in with Thomastown, is it?
Yeah, Thomastown, yeah. So when I finished up playing Intercounty with Kilkenny was 2014, and then I played another 3 years with Ballyhale.
Yeah.
The last year I was playing, I hurt my knee again.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't right, so I actually was a sub for when we went out of the championship. And things just didn't go right for us. We'd had a poor couple of years with Ballyhale, and I just felt there was an opportunity. The management was changing, they were stepping down, so the club approached me to see if I'd get involved. So I probably hadn't aspirations of a Brian. So I went straight away from finished playing to manager.
Straight into it, yeah. How was that when you're, because are Ballyhale these guys your mates?
Very much mates.
Right,
yeah,
so how does that dynamic work when you go in and start, you're one of the lads one day and then, I know it's not professional setup, but it's difficult to just flip that switch to being management.
Yeah,
you've got to let guys down and stuff.
Yeah, and that was the difficult part of it. But I suppose I approached it very easy at the beginning, Brian, because I knew it was going to be a settling in period. I kind of wanted to distance myself. So even that winter, I kind of distanced myself from the lads.
Yeah.
When I was announced, and that would have continued. But I still would have been one of their lads, Brian. I suppose that's how you want to manage, you know, in the sense of what kind of a manager you want to be. So for me, it was all about the people. And when I went in first, there was probably, you know, with a club team, there was a wide variety of players. And I probably wanted to bring the person on more so than the player, in the sense of just we've a lot of club players who just are happy just to go through the motions. So it was probably about getting them on board, Brian, and trying to really develop them as people and push them on. So that's what I was hoping.
Why? Because the ability is there, but you just think there's something lacking in kind of the motivation side of it?
Yeah, I think it's the motivation, but as well as that, what you have a lot of is that players that don't have great confidence in themselves.
Right.
And are probably happy enough to be a sub in the team.
Right.
Come training. You know, it's not at the inter-county level, so they're happy enough to have their few pints the weekend, have the bit of crack, and just tip along. But they're not getting the best from themselves. They're not getting the optimum from themselves. So I suppose that was the challenge, was to have those players on board, you know? I'm getting concerned when you're checking out the binoculars. Jesus, slow down.
Fit. And what about now then? Okay, so you're into Thomastown. What's the thinking behind that now in the longer term? Well, so I'm sure you don't want to get ahead of yourself, but people start asking questions, you know, have you aspirations to do this on a bigger scale to one day, manage the county, if things go well with Thomastown and so on, and continue developing as a coach. So is that now on your eye line?
It's the journey, I think. I've started a journey because I didn't...
You're open to it.
Yes, absolutely, yeah, because I did enjoy it. It's full on, it's a massive commitment. And as you said, like, I have a young family, so it's the right timing, but it's a learning environment. That's why I've gone from Ballyhale, is that I've learned a lot in Ballyhale, and I've gone into a new environment now. So Thomastown are an intermediate club here in Kilkenny, so I just wouldn't manage against Ballyhale, you know, I just wouldn't.
Really, would you not?
Oh, no.
Jeez, but no. Like, you know, like, you look at coaches around the world. You look at someone like Ron Nogara, who's gone to New Zealand and France, and I saw him quoted during the week of the semi-final against Leinster, being asked, "Would you ever coach Leinster?" And he said, "As a player, I would never have dreamt of playing for Leinster, but yet coaching is a different thing altogether." So, not that I see him being a future Leinster coach, but he's left that option open. So, do you not see? You look at Eddie Brennan going to another county. You know, surely you must feel as though, for a development, you only know Ballyhale, and now obviously you're at Thomastown. Mm. But, you know, where's the harm in going and pitting yourself against what you know?
Yeah, but there's a lot of harm in it, because my nephews are playing for Ballyhale. You know, my family are from Ballyhale. So
yeah.
I'm surprised to hear you say that about Ronan, because I would have been surprised to see he would take on Leinster. But
at the same time, to get a kind of a more holistic look of how you can become a better coach and seeing how other environments do it, surely that can only add to the knowledge that you have built as a Kilkenny player.
Yeah, but I just wouldn't do it against my own.
You've come from this massively successful environment and you have all these values. Is there anything concerning about how that doesn't fit into a smaller system, into a less competitive environment, particularly with a group of complete strangers, as you said?
Yeah, I think I was very fortunate with Kilkenny, and then I was even more fortunate with Ballyhale, because like, we didn't lose a championship match the 2 years I was there. So I'm stepping into a team now that haven't been successful, and I suppose that is one of the vulnerabilities that I face, is that, you know, you mightn't be successful, and I know that is coming, and I know that there's going to lose more than you win more. But
is that intimidating? Going into an environment, you have this great reputation as a player, and you put it on the line again as a manager.
Yeah, I think we're standing over a putt, so this one is going to be intimidating. But it is very similar. So I met these group of players last December, and I was very nervous. I was intimidated because I just don't know what they're thinking or what they're expecting to see. You know, they're seeing Henry Shefflin come and he's been successful with Ballyhale. Is it all just going to happen very quickly? And I know that's not the case. So, but I'm always, and even this morning coming in here to this, like, as you can see, I don't play much golf. But I think you have to be your authentic self. And
yeah.
That's what I do really come back to that. I've found that in my life now, Brian, is that, you know, there were stages during my career with Kilkenny where I wasn't myself. I was more concerned about what people thought about me, what the press said about me.
And did you behave accordingly to what their expectation was?
I think sometimes, yes. But as well as that, I probably mentally and psychologically wanted what they wanted. So I pushed myself. So, you know, you play very well in All-Ireland semi-final and you're kind of, you know, you're branded up as this is going to be the star man, and you put serious pressure on yourself then for an All-Ireland final. And that wasn't me, you know.
Was it not, no?
No, it wasn't me. To a certain extent, but I was probably playing to the galleries a little bit, and I was probably putting that pressure on myself, which brought its own issues and concerns for me, because I didn't enjoy it as much that period.
Okay.
You know, I just didn't enjoy it. So,
because from the outside, you looked as one of those players. You know, when pressurised situations come along, some players bulk and run out the gate, and other players run towards that pressure.
Yeah.
And they invite it upon themselves, and they think, okay, I run the risk of being the villain here, but they don't see the villain side, they only see the high side,
yeah,
the achievement where I'm going to actually get this done for us.
Yeah.
And it's not even wanting to be the hero, but just that anticipation and excitement fuels some people's desires. And you always came across as one of those sort of players.
Yeah. And I did, Brian, but I probably could have enjoyed it more. I just didn't enjoy it. And that's what I think I was affected because of that pressure I put on myself, because I wasn't being myself, you know, and that was the concerning thing for me. So
How did that manifest itself? Is that a sleepless nights thing? Is it thinking about it ad nauseum?
For any of the GAA followers, it would have been... I played an All-Ireland final in 2009, and I remember the Thursday before, and I just... My legs was just gone. I wouldn't have been able to walk around the golf course here. I had just gone out completely mentally. I just put so much pressure and anxiety on myself. I was just a ball of stress. And that's how it manifests itself. And you know, I was lucky enough I was able to come around for the game itself, but I look back at that period and say, why, you know?
Okay.
Why, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's see pressure here.
Oh, jeez.
Bit of a bubbly one. It jumped out right. Okay, I'll give you that. Okay.
Oh, deadly.
All right.
Nice par for you.
It's funny, you know, when you're living it, you don't want to think and enjoy that, because you always feel as though there's more to come, right? There's another one to get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get greedy. Yeah. You get a bit of success and you get a taste for your, like, you know, oh no, that'll do me. Nonsense. You're like, more, 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 and then you know that there's a time when you can't do it anymore, and there's the reflection piece.
Yes.
But have you had a good chance to really appreciate it and look back and go, that's amazing times, and it's highly unlikely that there's going to be many other players that are going to be able to achieve what I've managed to achieve.
I think, actually, and that's one of the times, that was one of the reasons why I wanted to step away from Ballyhale, because I didn't really have that reflection period. Yeah. Because when I was playing for Ballyhale, I thought I was a Kilkenny hurler. I was still just driving myself and just wanted to just be successful. And it was last year, with the lockdown and COVID and the matches being on television, that self-reflection piece really came to the fore, I think. So.
And how do you, is that just you on your own thinking about it? Is that you sharing memories with your family, with Deirdre?
Well, do you know what? Like, my Sive is 13, Henry now is 11, like, Shun is 10, and Freddie is 7. So, he's 7 now, he was 6 last year. Right? So, let me just clarify that one. But, yeah, and they're becoming more interested in it, Brian, and they want to talk about it.
Okay.
And it's brilliant. Like, they're just brilliant for memories. Like, I'm not great for describing moments.
I'm awful for it as well.
So I'm, but Deirdre's brilliant for that.
She can remember everything,
yes. She can remember everything. So in that sense, I think there was a lot more time. And that was the beauty of being around all last year, was that we had that time to talk about those kind of things.
Yeah.
So, and I think it just brought family to the fore, you know. I think that's been it. And look, honestly, you know, as well as that, I think a big change in my life was the time my son had that accident, you know. It just changed my whole perception of life, you know. So I think you have to have a passion, you have to have a purpose about something you want to do. But as well as that, you have to really understand what your values are. And for me, value number one is my family.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing for me. So I think it just it brought to light that more.
Do you look at the high achievement past and think that's unachievable in other realms of life, but you've made peace with that?
Yes, yeah.
It's taken me a while to get there.
Right.
It really has. Like, I wanted to try and be world class.
At everything you do.
Not at the next thing. Try and find that. It's a fix. Very nice. That's some up and down. Huh? That's some up and down. Right. Follow that in.
Oh, nice. Nice. Ah.
You talked there about Matt the Pro giving you a couple of things to think about. And in many ways, golf is quite like, you know, be it goal kicking or, you know, line out throwing or free kick taking. What's your thought process standing over a free, or are you just completely at ease with all the drills that you've had and you're not even...
Yeah, I'm very zen-like in what I'm doing. I'm just following my... I wouldn't say it's a process. I just do what comes naturally to me. So, like, I've learned over the years, I steady myself up, I take my 2 breaths inhaling, I straighten my shoulders in line where I want the target to hit, And that just came very naturally to me, Brian. I didn't ever say it to myself, I needed to take two breaths. It just seemed to happen for me, you know. So, you know, you see all the goal kickers and rugby and stuff and the whole visualization and the movement and everything like that. I didn't have any of that. None of that. I'd say there's a couple of instances in my life where I've, sorry, free taking in my life where I went, Jesus, now I need to really think about this. So.
Why? Why would you have changed that at particular moment?
Because it was a critical moment.
Okay.
It was
and
very
was
important.
That just about sharpening your focus a little bit more?
Yes, yeah. So we, 2009, we got an penalty in the All-Ireland final against Tipperary, critical stage in the game, and I just knew this is going to be a pivotal moment, and I really needed to think about what I was doing. So.
So how do you, how does that change, you know, what do you think differently?
Well, it was a penalty, first of all, so I probably wouldn't have taken many deals over my career. But I had to really, I suppose, analyse, critically analyse what was in front of me. So I had Brendan Cummins, Pádraig Maher, and I think it was Conor O'Mahony for Tipperary, all 6 foot. But I had thought about in the lead-up, Brendan Cummins used to hold his hurl with his left hand on top. So he was standing in the goal with his hurl like that. And I knew to myself, if I thought I needed to think about just because the atmosphere, as you can imagine, at that moment was just, you know, it was at a very high level. So I just needed to kind of pull myself back from the whole thing and just kind of take a deep breath and really understand what I wanted to do. And I realized that I wanted to go the other side of Brendan Cummins so that if I went here, this side, it would favor him blocking it. So I just needed to go
across
this shoulder.
Across his body.
Across his body. So he needed to switch hands. And that was one incident
like
that.
How accurate was that penalty?
Yeah, it was very accurate, yeah.
Yeah.
Better, I'm more accurate than my drives here today.
How important is legacy to you? As a player, but now as you get into management, the potential legacy that you leave behind in that regard too?
I think it's more important in management because I think it's a legacy of what you'll do with the people you have involved. I think that's very, very important to me. So that if you're managing a TJ Reid of this world, that he, you know, speaks highly of you. But more importantly, I think it's the players, especially at GAA club level, that probably are going to float along through their sporting career. If you can do something for them that lights the fire within them to kind of increase their enjoyment, but I think their performance levels, I think that will be beneficial to them in the sporting field. But I think in their careers, in their professions, in their family lives, I think that's very important. So I think you can do that by management. I think you have that opportunity, I think, by being a manager of a team and leading a team into, you know, situations like that. I think you can have that impact.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
If you're over 30 in a football, that's half your age hitting the digs. Those lads are out partying at St. William Street later that night. I'm going home to have an ice bath.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.